This morning we are going to be reading from the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the beginning of the New Testament. So we're reading John 8, 31 to 41, the children of Abraham. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself."
Father, thank you. Thank you that we've been able to sing praise to you. We've heard your greeting. We've confessed our sins, heard your words of reassurance and a challenge on who we should be. We've been able to be generous, to partner with others who are doing your work in our communities. Lord, this is all part of being shaped by you in this time of worship. And we pray that we will become more and more who you're calling us to be, and that this time of worship is part of your shaping. And Lord, now as we dig into the word, Lord, I pray that these will be your words and not mine. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a whole lot in this passage. We can talk about truth, we can talk about a whole lot of things, but we're going to talk about how we're free. And this encounter between Jesus and these Jews who believe in Jesus comes right after the Pharisees challenge Jesus on his teachings and who Jesus claims to be. John tells us that many people really, they're having a hard time getting what Jesus is telling them and getting at when he talks about who he is and his relationship with God as his Father. So Jesus tells them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him." And even as he spoke, many believed in him. This is what comes just before our passage this morning. And yet, even in this conversation where many put their faith in Jesus, there still seems to be some question on what they're really believing about who Jesus is. Jesus tells them, "If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So Jesus is using rabbi language here, saying, you know, "I am your rabbi, you're my disciples. You have to hang on and let what I teach you shape who you are." A disciple would follow the rabbi and watch the rabbi so closely and listen so intently that they could say exactly what the rabbi would say back to other people, and they would act in such a way that people would know, wow, that disciple follows that rabbi. So that's part of this culture thing that's going on and what Jesus just says. But there's still that, truth will set you free. As they respond, we can see there's a lot of misunderstanding still going on. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? Well, to be fair to the Jews, Jesus isn't always easy to understand right away. And if we were there, would we really have understood what Jesus is getting at? You know, we look back with a certain amount of pride and arrogance and a whole lot of knowledge from people who are so much wiser than we are, who have shared with us and dug into this to help us to get to understand these words. But in the moment, it's not always so easy. And they also, they don't remember their own history. You know, they were slaves in Egypt. That's where their whole Passover story, their whole image of God as a Savior, as a Redeemer, comes from. The whole idea of a Messiah leading them out of slavery. And then they were slaves to Babylon for 70 years, and God freed them there. And now they're under the occupation of Rome. And while they may not be slaves, they're not really free either. So for them to claim that they've never been slaves, I don't know. Their whole history is a little wonky. We kind of remember what we want to remember rather than what actually sometimes has happened. Now, to be free, maybe they are getting a little bit at what Jesus is trying to get at, that maybe they're not slaves to maybe some of the different sects or heresies or teachers of that time. Maybe they're saying our souls, our hearts are free. They're free because we follow only God, the Lord our God, who's one. But the reality is that many people, even many of us, dare I say all of us, often fail to recognize the chains our sin has on our hearts and on our souls. We too often fail to acknowledge the different masters that we've allowed to bind us up in our chains of slavery. Freedom's a huge issue. The reality is there are so many different kinds of slavery in the world, and some of it is right here in Canada, in Alberta, in our own communities. And we don't want to think about those types of slavery. Prevalence of human trafficking is an issue we don't talk much about. Even though if you build a relationship with the police, the RCMP or Lacombe police, they will tell you human trafficking is an issue right here. There are women and children being trafficked, but we don't want to see. We don't want to acknowledge it. It's hard. Then there are those immigrants that come into Canada who are taken advantage of. Some of them having arrived only semi-legally. And when they're given work, they're often treated as slaves, given a minimal wage, and then told if they complain, they'll make sure they get deported. Then there's family violence and dysfunction, where I have walked alongside family members who feel like they're trapped like slaves in their own relationships, in their own families. And God deals with slavery and the laws he gives Israel, and he says, you have to treat them with respect. They have rights. They're created in my image. They're valuable to me. Historically, people of faith have been in the forefront of the fight to eliminate slavery. Think of people like William Wilberforce in England, spent his whole life fighting to free slaves. And then there's William Lloyd Garrison and his profound sense of Christian morality in the U.S. that led him to become an advocate for the abolitionist cause, while the daughter of one of the wealthiest slave-owning families in Charleston, South Carolina, Angelina Grimke, was deeply religious, believing that slavery was a sin and that God would punish those who owned and enslaved other human beings. And she joined the fight for freedom for black slaves. There are so many others who also fought for freedom, such as Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, a story showing people the cruelties of slavery. And yet the reality is the writers of the Bible speak less about physical slavery, though it's never presented as part of God's creation plan. Jesus is much more concerned about our hearts and souls becoming slaves to that underestimated power of sin and Satan, who chain our hearts so that we're kept away from God. We're kept away from Jesus. We're kept away from the Holy Spirit who can guide us to freedom. Jesus teaches us, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And sin's power is rooted in idolatry. As N.T. Wright observes, idols, all the more powerful when not recognized as such, are anything at all that humans place above and give their ultimate allegiance to, other than the one God himself. And idols are addictive. They offer more than it can appropriately deliver. You have to abandon part of your proper allegiance to God in order to fresh and inappropriate attention to the new idol, whatever it is. It's associated not only with alcohol, cannabis, and other drugs, but with our electronic systems, our smartphones, social media, Facebook, and so on. And we recognize it. Lent's coming up just before Easter, though we have Advent first. But in Lent, we give up stuff. And more. Well, I give up spinach, but... But people recognize it. They give up things like social media. They give up things like... used to be smoking, now it's vaping or other things. They recognize the hold these things have on our lives. For many people, even followers of Jesus, freedom is all about being able to do whatever they want, even if there are rules and laws against it. Most of our ideas about freedom are inherently selfish. It's all about me and what I want. Doug Bratt writes, Jesus Christ graciously freed his adopted siblings from having to earn our salvation by obeying God's law. Yet that leaves the question of how Christians use our freedom in Christ. How, quite simply, do God's beloved children live in obedient gratitude for God's gracious gift of salvation? So those who assume 1 Corinthians 6's proclaimers will talk about spiritual things. They may be disappointed. 1 Corinthians 6 says you're free, but not everything is good when you're free. Paul, after all, calls God's people to also consider physical things. He reminds his letter's recipients that while God gives God's adopted children much freedom to responsibly respond to God's grace, not everything we do is beneficial. Some things Christians have the freedom to do aren't helpful to either the people around us or to us. Freedom. Freedom comes through Jesus, who sets us free from sin through his sacrifice on the cross. That's something we call substitutionary atonement, where Jesus takes the punishment for our sin on ourselves. You see, in the very beginning, everything was good and very good. It was amazing. God walked with us. And then we listened to a different voice. We began a journey of walking away from God. But God doesn't give up. He keeps coming after us, even while allowing the consequences of our sin to impact us. But he had warned us, you know, that if you don't listen to my voice, if you eat from that tree, you will die, because that's a penalty for not listening to me. That's a penalty for sin. But that's why Jesus came. Takes that punishment to the cross. He dies. He dies in our place, so that we can be made right with God, so that we can be children of God. And it's a gift given to us, a gift we need to accept in order for it to make us free. That's why we're told time and time again by different writers of the scriptures to believe in Jesus, to repent, to turn our lives over to Jesus, and to walk his way instead of our own way. Robert Kruswitz warns us in an awkward but memorable phrase. The Apostle Paul declares, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. The story of Jesus Christ as it comes to life in his followers is a story of freedom, to be sure, but a freedom constrained by the cross and deeply at odds with the individualistic notions of liberty. Today, many people often think of freedom as a maximum ability to choose whatever life I want with a minimum of external attachments. Paul has this strange claim that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free in Galatians. But it's explained by this relationship between salvation and ethics. Christ has set us free relates to the salvation of Jesus' followers, while for freedom relates to the ethical lifestyle that Jesus' followers are called to live. Because slavery separates us from a close relationship with God, as Jesus says, a slave has no permanent place in the family. And just because they're Jewish, and just because you go to church every Sunday, or most Sundays, or some Sundays, even though you give generously and may even read the Bible and do devotions most days, that doesn't save you or set you free. Jesus goes on, but a son belongs to it, the family, forever. And Jesus is that one who brings us into the family of God. Freedom comes through Jesus. Being a child of God gives you a solid identity, a strong foundation for life and hope for right now, a reason for living, a place to belong. That's why that first song we sang this morning really hit me. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love." Our freedom is limited by our relationship with Jesus and who he's calling us to be as his followers. Freedom's important. We will fight hard for it. And yet we seldom stop to think about what our freedom is actually for, why it's so important, how it points us to God, how it's a signpost. Paul talks about it in Romans 6. "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Bruce Hartung encourages us to remember that Christ has freed us from the burden of our sin, from our earning God's love, from our pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps to approach God, with all that energy no longer needed to earn a new and healthy relationship with God. What shall I do with that energy? What do you do with it? All freedom looks like following Jesus. Looks like serving each other in love, as we find in Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul goes on to call us to use our freedom to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and to keep in step with the Spirit. So what does that look like for us today? Well, Paul in Romans 6 and Peter in 1 Peter 2 call us to be slaves to God. It looks like loving God and serving our neighbor. It looks like being generous to the poor. It looks like listening closely to those with whom we disagree, so closely that we can really understand why their position is so important to them. Take some time to just kind of get to know the person who you're sitting next to in the pew. Find out, you know, what are really important things to them and why. Share with them some of the most important things that you hold on to and why. Come to know each other. Come to understand each other. Pray for others. Invite your neighbors over for food and talk. Talk with the people you work with and go to school with about Jesus, who sets us free from all that stuff that the world can pile on us. Isaiah calls us to proclaim freedom, to set the oppressed free. He points ahead to the coming servant, the Messiah, to Jesus. Isaiah says freedom looks like repenting and believing so that we can be set free from our sin. So be free. But it looks like being a slave. As a slave to Jesus. It's about taking what he has said as our rabbi. It's about walking the path that he shows us. It's about taking his yoke, his teaching, and letting it shape us into the people Jesus is calling us to be. To be his brothers and sisters. To be children of God. To be a light in the world. To be people who are proud. To be called slaves. But slaves to God. Amen. Father, what a weird thought. That to be free, we become slaves to you. And yet when we look through the history of our lives, the history of the world, the history of your people, we see that the chains, the yoke you put on us is light. And that it's meant to help us to be a blessing, to be your blessing to the world, to show them that slavery to you means freedom in our hearts and souls and minds and lives. So Lord, help us to carry this into our lives outside of this sanctuary. Help us to walk Jesus' path. Help us to shape our lives completely on his teaching. And help us to celebrate the freedom from sin that he accomplished for us on the cross. Thank you. Amen.